X1039's What's New Now podcast. Welcome to it. It's a podcast where we normally do interviews, but if we don't have one for the week, hey, we scramble at the last minute to talk about something with just us here. So I'm Crowley. Who else do we got here?
Summer.
And Carly.
Yeah, we got like half our staff in here right now. Hell yeah, man. So that's right. So here in just a second, we got to talk about this new Turnstile EP. But before we do that, we got to do the usual thing of don't forget to subscribe. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to share it on social media if you feel like it's worth it. Comment when we post it. Ring that bell. Whatever all the other stuff is. I'm not a YouTuber. I don't have it all memorized. So what I do have memorized is Turnstile's Glow On album.
Oh, yeah.
Dog. Can we talk for a brief second about how we felt when Turnstile first started dropping songs?
Oh, my heart.
Right?
Oh,
wasn't it
goodness.
Like, where did this come from and why did it take so long?
I just remember sitting in my office just blaring that whole album and Ross was like, what are you listening to?
And, I mean, and he's granted Turnstile's not exactly the deepest and craziest of hardcore punk, but he's like on the metal side of rock.
Yeah. And he's also very precise about the music he picks for the other station.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to like perk his ears up and be like, hey, wait, mm-hmm. he gets a lot of music thrown his way every week and he has to make a lot of big decisions. And so, yeah, that was the first taste of Turnstile for him. But yeah, that was that wasn't my first time hearing them, but that was like awesome.
I was even kind of blown away that they added the song and were playing it forever. Like when they were playing it at the same time as us and it was like, hot damn, they're crossing over
here.
Yeah,
a little bit of a crossover there. Honestly, my first, foray into it was hearing it on X1039 because Sean was playing it. And so that's when I first heard it. And then getting to see them open for Blink-182. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Dude, we're all mad at you right now. Us morning show people that can't pull that kind of thing off often. So
especially on like weeknights and stuff.
Oh, dude, but they're on my list. Yeah. They are so on my list. For me personally, like I've been a hardcore punk fan for a while and I like the dirty stuff like Veruca's, like the crust punk and everything. But as somebody that has often gotten into really obscure, aggressively unlistenable music, it's nice when something you like comes out that's like, oh, this might have mainstream appeal. I might not be so weird for once.
Yeah.
Not all the obscure stuff anymore.
I might be able to talk to random people about hardcore punk. Come on, man. Give me that. And that's, I think, what Turnstile did. They put out this really melodic, really fantastic hardcore album that also has a lot of soft parts to it. In case we haven't mentioned, it's called Glow On. It's the pink one with the clouds.
There you go.
And honestly, a pretty good vibe for it because it does, for as heavy as it gets at times and as just brutal and awesome as the riffs are, it has a lot of moments of really incredible beauty on it, too. And so it seemed like, while quite the surprise, it was completely not surprising, I think, once you thought about it, that they did a collab with Bad Bad Not Good, one of my favorite modern jazz bands. I'll go into them later with my stuff on
sounds
it.
Sounds good.
But there has been an incredible wave of new jazz the last 10, 15 years or so. Just really amazing innovations. Bad, Bad, Not Good right up there. They did, it might have been one of the very last collabs that MF Doom did. Because if I remember right, they recorded it late 2020 and then the dude died and they released it like a month later. Like, oh, here you go. Last MF Doom you're going to get until they start scouring the archives. And also it's with one of the best modern jazz bands there is. Who else? But they've collabed with a bunch of modern rappers. I mean, like, clearly they've got cred right now. They tend to have more hip-hop inflected jazz, but their last album, Talk Memory, was very 60s and 70s inspired. Anyway, that's the background.
Yeah, I've never even heard of them until this morning when this dropped.
Yeah.
So let's tell the story of that then, because this kind of thing happens a lot here in a radio station where someone discovers something and utterly flips out and is like, I have to go to every other person in the building to play
you
this
have
for
to
them.
Hear this.
So yeah. Summer, tell us about it.
Sitting in my office, I get an email. I get these blurbs about alternative rock news and stuff like that. And then from that, well, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll blog on our website and, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
I got the blast this morning, immediately clicked it, listened to the first like 40 seconds and I was like, I can't keep this to myself. I have to go share this with Crowley and Carly. Ran back to your office.
You did. You just suddenly appeared.
Yes. And I was like, dude,
we gotta listen to this.
Well, what was even the best part of it was you didn't even know who Bad Bad Not Good was. So you roll in like, I don't even know who this is. And I'm like, hang on, hold Summer. On.
He'll tell us all about it.
Oh my God, no way.
Yes. And then you pulled it up and the rest is history.
Yeah. So what it basically is, they did three tracks from Glow On. I don't even know how much of a collab it is or if it's more of like essentially a remix, because I think they just re-recorded new backing tracks for the vocals from a couple of these Turnstile songs, right? It's called the Heart Designs EP. As far as I can tell, it's only digital so far, but damn it, they better put that thing out on vinyl.
Oh, it'd be so good on vinyl.
Yeah,
right?
We'll get to that. But yeah, Bad, Bad, Not Good on there. A really interesting choice. Fits really well since Turnstile had those really gorgeous ambient interludes. And because even though Bad, Bad, Not Good does a lot of hip hop inflected stuff, like a lot of their stuff is very spacey and 70s and everything, like pitch perfect. This was always meant to be right here.
Yeah. So they put on Mystery, Alien Love Call featuring Blood Orange and Underwater Boy.
Yeah. Which the original Alien Love Call had Blood Orange on it, didn't it? Because I remember when they dropped that single. So, yeah, kept him on there. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. So smooth. It's amazing, too, I think, to hear, like, on the first track, the hardcore vocals where he's still screaming and it's over this really smooth jazz.
I know, and, like, that kind of threw me off a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, I loved it. But I still was like, I miss the energy of the original, you know, I'm waiting for it to build up and stuff and just kind of rage a little bit, but it's still amazing. And God, if it comes out on vinyl, that will be fabulous.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple of Bad, Bad, Not Good albums on vinyl. Let me tell you, they sound great. They sound great. And everybody should buy more jazz on vinyl. But, dude, yeah. So is anybody mad that we saw that and it felt like a little bit of a tease that it wasn't brand new Turnstile music?
Right. Yeah.
When did they put that album out 2 years ago at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been on a crazy touring schedule, so I don't blame them, but like,
they better be writing new music in the bus.
Right.
I know. Give it to us now, damn it.
Well, and I'll admit what scares me, because this happens with just about every other band I discover. The material I discover them on, nothing is ever as good after that. You ever notice that?
Oh, I don't know if it's... I have high hopes that it won't be that way.
I'm feeling good about it because Turnstile has some wild energy. But I'm always just a little... I don't know. It's happened too many times. I'm a little suspicious of it. But
you also tend to be a little bit of a pessimist, friend.
And a bit of a hipster, too. I like the old stuff. That's the hipster answer. Yeah. So
it's not as good as the first one ever.
Well, if we're gonna
hang on, you know what's surprising not surprising to me about you? As soon as I said it's with this band called Bad Bad Not Good, and you were like, "What?" And I'm like, "Of course he knows who that is. Of course."
Well, this is probably an excellent segue for me to jump into this real fast. All right, does anybody want to set a timer?
I'm gonna set
for
a timer
here?
For you.
How long are you giving me here?
I'm gonna give you
Let me set this up, because as we were deciding to do this podcast here, I was like, okay, don't let me dominate, but like I do kind of own all of this right here.
we got to make room for a Crowley rant.
Yeah.
So you wanted 3 minutes. What are we at right now on time?
Looks like for the listeners, you can scroll down to the bottom. We're about 9 minutes right now. So I think we could handle 3 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Three minutes. Ready?
Okay. I should have taken more notes for this, but.
Okay. Ready?
Let's do this.
Set. Go.
All right. So I just want to notice Bad, Bad, Not Good is one of the biggest faces of the modern movement of jazz. I've been a jazz fan since the 90s. Mostly was into old school jazz, but really got to say the last 10, 15 years of new jazz have been absolutely amazing. I mean, even just on a mainstream service, lo-fi hip hop, which is essentially just jazz with hip hop beats, has dominated. But this extends. So obviously we start with jazz rap in the early 90s, Tribe Called Quest and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We can jump over to Madlib, who did a whole series of jazz albums. He was rapping with a live jazz band. It was so sick. It was called Jazzmatazz. He put up multiple volumes. But the last 10, 15 years, if you have any interest in jazz, do a little exploring. Check out like Robohands, Alphamist, Kamasi Washington III. It is an insane jazz renaissance right now where it's mixing in with other genres. There's innovation going on. It's so nuts, man. It's one of those things I claim a little bit because there's a lot of things that I liked 20 years ago and still like that have suddenly gotten popular. So I feel a little bit like a Nostradamus. Allow me to throw in with ambient on there as well with all the ambient interludes on Bad, Bad, Not Good. But if you have any interest in jazz or ambient, don't even get me started on ambient jazz. Because that's also a whole other genre right now. Oh, it doesn't even end there. There's dark ambient jazz too. So it's going all the way up its own asshole
here. I feel like
he's
going to show up on Monday with a mixtape for all of us.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. But yeah, if you like lo-fi hip-hop or anything and you have any interest in expanding your horizons, do yourself a favor and get into modern jazz because it is the best time ever to get into it. There's so many artists I'm not going to be able to think of right now. Uh-huh. Esperanza Spalding. Do you remember when she won a damn Grammy for best jazz album playing the bass? She's amazing.
Cool.
She's doing all kinds of cool collabs lately. Like, it's jazz is on the rise again, and I feel really good about that. And where am I at on time?
You're just 2 minutes. Oh. So you still have a minute left.
Oh, the crap.
Well, 50 seconds now.
I thought I had more to say there.
I know.
I hurried through it too quickly.
You did good.
Let's call it because I won't stress people out. Thank you.
I am proud of you.
Thank you.
We're going to have to start doing that to you more often.
I was going
to
say, it's good I didn't take notes because then I would have just kept going for a while. But also, like, dog, if Miles Davis, it's so worth it getting to classic jazz. And if you like Miles Davis, could I just say check out Stanley Turrentine? So check out Stanley Turrentine. Chet Baker's a little well-known, too. He's got a very Miles sound, so that one as well. But if you like Miles Davis, which is a little jazz 101, check out Stanley Turrentine because he's a little more obscure, but he has a very Miles sound. He's very cool. He got into soul jazz later. He gets a little more religious in some of his later stuff than I care for, but he's awesome. I love me some Stanley Turrentine. And Blue Note Records is putting out a lot of re-releases right now of their Classic Master series, so you can get a lot of this stuff on new vinyl.
Oh,
there it goes. I fit it all in.
You did it. Good job.
All right. Well, since I just said all that, because I know jazz is a weird one, I specifically remember in eighth grade, or maybe it was like freshman year of high school, I was in like chemistry or something, and one of the older kids mentioned seeing me, was making fun of me, and like seeing me in the local CD shop and being like just drooling over the jazz section as a bit of mockery. And I have been a little defensive about it ever since then. Yeah. But I want to ask both of you guys after that whole thing. Let's start with Carly here, and then we'll go to Summer. How do you feel about jazz, Carly?
You know, I will admit I probably have not given it as much attention as maybe I will now after
thank you
hearing you all day long now and throughout this whole podcast talking about it. So I will definitely look into it. You know, it's never really been my thing.
Sure.
I can appreciate it. I can absolutely respect it, especially the musicianship that goes into it and the creativity. But yeah, it's just never really been my thing. So I will give it some listens, though. I know you sent me some, Robohands?
Robohands. I love Robohands so much.
So I will dig into that and, you know, anything else that you suggest. But we shall see.
How about you, Summer?
I pretty much have the same answer. I appreciate it. The artistry. One of my friends' dads is a local jazz musician here in
the
Springs.
What does he play?
Saxophone.
Oof, sexy sax.
Yeah, sexy sax.
The saxophone.
Mm. And so I can appreciate all of that. It's just something I never really got into.
Yeah, it's never really spoken to me. Apparently it obviously has for you.
Clearly.
I did go to a club in South Carolina that just so happened to be playing, the jazz was playing, and the atmosphere was really cool.
Yeah.
There's such a vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, the feeling.
There's a reason there's a whole instrument called the vibraphone in jazz.
But yeah, and same as Summer, I randomly went to a jazz club. I was on my way to a concert, and it was the only place to eat by the venue, and it turned out it was a jazz club. The food was delicious, but yeah, the music was cool. Like the live performance and everything, it was definitely a cool vibe, but it's not something I typically go put on my turntable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I want to make you guys feel better about that. But first, I do have a weird theory. How do you both of you guys feel about blues?
Yeah. I mean, kind of the same answer. It's not something I listen to on the regular, but so much, you know, I have a pretty big love of country music as well, and it's so rooted in blues. Yeah. So absolutely,
and jazz.
Well, and jazz too. Yes, but you know, but I feel like they're a little more similar.
Yeah.
Not some of the mainstream country that's coming out now. That's really just like pop and not country at all. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing there. Like I grew up on the old school country, so I have some of that influence in my music interests, but not too much. As I was growing up, I decided I knew what I liked, and that was the alternative music that I started to like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because
I skipped all that.
I have a theory. So, like, how a lot of people are like, "Are you Beatles or Rolling Stones? Are you Beatles or Elvis?" I kind of feel like there's a dichotomy between blues and jazz. You like one or the other.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Of they're similar while entirely different at the same time. Jazz is highly complex, while blues is much more rooted in a simplicity, I feel like, even though they're both kind of playing similar scales and everything. But I do want to make you guys feel better about not getting into jazz, because
I wasn't feeling bad about it.
That's okay. But if anybody is, because I would like to shame anybody that isn't into it. But it is also okay, because it's like trying to get into Doctor Who or something, or baseball, where there is an intimidating amount of content to go through.
Comic books in general.
Books in general, where it's, or like that one anime called One Piece that has like 10,000 episodes or something like that, where it's like, it's me when it's people are recommending a TV show and it has like seven seasons already. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to watch that much. That's too much for me. No, thank you. And jazz is kind of like that. But I'll tell you all now, if there's anything you even kind of like, the cool thing about jazz, and somebody could probably contradict me on this, but I feel like you can get every decade of jazz has a pretty distinct flavor that you will get different styles inside of it. But you can generally define each decade and it's jazz by a certain sound, whether it's like cool and bebop in the 50s, to soul jazz in the 60s, early fusion, hardcore fusion in the 70s. It gets real weird in the 80s, yo. And that's what birthed like Kenny G and stuff. But yeah, if you can pick out an era of jazz you like, you can really just stay inside of one decade. I mostly listen to 50s jazz and late 50s jazz at that. So you can find your particular flavor and stick with it if you want.
Turnstile meets jazz. Listen to it now. We got it up for you at x1039radio.com.
Yeah, and label, put it out on vinyl.
Please.
Even these guys that don't like jazz are like, I want to put this on vinyl, man. Yeah. That too, if you get into jazz, get into vinyl, because I don't know that there's many genres that sound as good as jazz on vinyl. So,
well, thanks for all the jazz info.
Yeah, we tried to jazz it up for the podcast today. What's like, jazz
we'll,
now?
We'll throw out the jazz hands, but you can't see it.
Jazz robo hands here. So, well, thanks for listening today. Thanks for putting up with all my jazz and all that jazz. So, hey, if you liked this, you know, subscribe, comment, all this stuff. If enough people like it, we'll press this on vinyl here.
And we'll get our own.
I'll write some sweet fills for the background or whatever. We'll do some good comping behind it. So
perfect.
All right. Well, for Carly and Summer, thank you guys for listening to my jazz. And this has been What's New Now from X1039.